It is 7:08 in the morning. You are listening to Upfront. I am Kat Brooks. Janine Etter is on vacation. If you are looking for things to do this weekend, there is plenty to get into. It is the 10th anniversary of Oakland Pride on Saturday night from 6 p.m. to 12 a.m. There is a pre-Pride block party at Latham Square in downtown Oakland. And then, of course, the big Pride parade takes place on Sunday the 8th, beginning at 11 a.m. with a festival that follows that will go on until 7 p.m. that evening. Also, IAIA's House of Burning Souls opens this evening. The 20th season of the Lower Bottom Players kicks off with an evening of one woman plays by black women, one of those women being me. The other two playwrights being Ayodele Nzinga and Kairishi Wigington. Performances are Friday and Saturday at 8 and Saturday and Sunday at 2 at the Flight Deck on Broadway in downtown Oakland. You can learn more at Lower Bottom Players. That's PLAYAZ. Because it's townbusiness.com. Since the re-election of Oakland Mayor Libby Schaaf, evictions of homeless encampments have escalated at an alarming rate. Last week, we talked to community activist Nita B about the Union Point Park evictions, which included both RVs and tent encampments. Next week, another encampment in East Oakland is slated for eviction. We are joined this morning by Candace Elder of the East Oakland Collective. Good morning, Candace.
Good morning.
Thank you for waking up early to holler at us.
Definitely.
She said, out seven, what? So I want to, before we get into what's happening on San Leandro in the East, I want you to paint a picture of what things have looked like on the ground since November 7th, 2018.
Since Mayor Schaaf's reelection, we've definitely seen an uptick in encampment closures. At first, we were experiencing, you know, multiple closures a month. Now it's kind of settled at one to two, but that's still too many.
And excuse me. You often talk about East Oakland as being sort of an invisible part of the homeless crisis in the city of Oakland.
It was an invisible part of Oakland, but like not a lot of resources were going to the curbside communities there. You know, a lot of attention was focused on West and downtown Oakland because that's where the majority of the curbside communities are. So as an organization and as a community advocate, we were raising that point with the city. You know, we helped to get some of the first sanitation units to East Oakland encampments. But what we are experiencing now is the closure of the large encampments in East Oakland. So now we're just down to about two. So people are more so hiding in and tucked away in pockets, you know, which makes it hard to reach, is making it hard to track people and really to provide them services because they're so spread out in there along railroad tracks. You know, they're in bushes on the off ramps and exit ramps of freeways, you know, so they're really in, you know, dangerous locations and hard to reach to. So, you know, like I said, East Oakland is down to just two large ones, and that has been due to these encampment enclosures by the city.
And talk about what that does to community, because correct me if I'm wrong, but particularly people that are pushed out of their homes due to, you know, high rent increases or whatever reason, they tend to return back to the communities they know to try to live, correct?
Correct. It's a very, very traumatic experience. I can't even imagine what our unhoused brothers and sisters are going through exactly, you know, having to be pushed around across the city. You know, we have witnessed health impacts, and particularly mental health, all the way to we witnessed people have seizures, you know, because of all the stress that is caused during these encampment evictions. And yeah, folks are just pushed around the next block along the next railroad track, you know, behind the next building in someone else's neighborhood in front of someone else's, you know, small business. So we have to look at really, we have to uplift, you know, the traumatic impact this has on people's bodies, you know, on people's minds. We call it, we think it's another form of state-sanctioned violence, mm-hmm. you know, against our own house brothers and sisters.
And I'm also thinking, so there's the trauma on that it takes place on the body, but then the mental and emotional trauma from being pushed out of your community or being ripped apart from the community that you create in encampments. I mean, when people drive by, they just see, oh, those are just some tents together. But those are communities, right, where people are supporting each other and surviving in partnership.
They are definitely communities. And it really speaks to another issue that doesn't really get addressed is, you know, looking at these encampments as actually communities, which is, you know, why we prefer to call it curbside communities. And this is what we heard directly from the residents who, you know, live in them, that people form there, they become family, you know, they get attached to the location. Oftentimes, you know, they're living in these communities that are in familiar neighborhood to them. You know, this is where they grew up, around the corner, or, you know, their family might even still reside, you know, in the same neighborhood. And then people learn to survive together. They create rules, you know, they create guidelines together, you know, they hustle together, you know. So sometimes, you know, there's children, you know, in some of the curbside communities. So it really, it is a community, and that's something that's often ignored.
So let's talk about the upcoming scheduled eviction. Where is it?
So the city is slated to destroy 21 self-built homes along, well, between 81st and 85th Avenue along San Leandro Boulevard in Deep East Oakland.
And why? What reasoning are they giving?
The city is citing each structure as being in violation of fire code. They listed the code. Sorry, have a rambunctious dog. But they listed the fire violations on each structure, and then they also said that the encampment suffered many fires, and all the curbside communities do. But this one in particular, because it's located under the BART tracks, posed a high hazard. So we do understand those concerns, but we don't think, you know, jumping off the cliff, you know, to the extreme of destroying the homes is the best response and solution by the city.
So 21 self-made structures, how many people are we talking about?
25 to 30 people, including, you know, some significant others and guests.
And is the city offering shelter?
No, not at all, which is why there was a huge outcry to first not destroy the homes, second to actually move the people to a safer location, and because the city was not offering any shelter, not even a tent. And their response to that was, well, you fundraise, you know, this, you know, small nonprofit organization, and go out and fundraise and get the tents. So we are, you know, and
that's what you're doing.
So yeah, that is what we're doing, because we don't want to leave our family out there with nothing. So, you know, it's about the people. It's not about the city, you know, and we have shamed them for not even providing something as simple as a tent, you know, because what's going to happen next Wednesday, September 11th, is people have to pack up all their belongings and move out of the way for the city and public works to come and destroy the homes. Then the city's going to clean the area. And then the residents can move all their stuff right back and then set up in tents. You know, and tents is not the best shelter at all. It's not a good alternative. But, you know, it is better than, you know, sleeping on the sidewalk.
I'm confused. I thought the city had to offer temporary shelter when they were kicking people out of their communities.
That's what they're supposed to do. That's what they say they do, but often the case, that is not what they do.
So if people want to support your tent drive, what can they do? Where should they go? How should they do that?
We have a GoFundMe up. So go to GoFundMe.com/East Oakland Tent Drive. It's a very good description of what's going on and what we need. So we're not only fundraising for tents, but also moving and packing supplies, and fire extinguisher, smoke detector, stuff to kind of like, you know, help mitigate, you know, any fire danger and hazards while the residents are still living there.
Not too long ago, I saw in an article where Libby Schaaf, the mayor of Oakland, said that she no longer supported self-governing encampments because the city of Oakland had tried that and it failed to work. Do you feel like the city of Oakland has adequately attempted to try self-governing encampments?
No, the mayor has made known that she never agreed with self-governing encampments. And I think she's inferring to, you know, what happened with the village. And, you know, that was a very complicated situation. It was almost, you know, set up to fail. And I personally believe it was sabotage, you know, so that the city can say this self-governing communities don't work. Each and every single curbside community out there right now is self-governing, you know. So what we need to do is stop evicting and upgrade based off of even the recommendations from the UN representative who came out here and actually toured, you know, many encampments across Oakland. So what we need to do is empower our resident leaders who are out there and who are trying to change and have, you know, the best living environment that they can while being outside. We also want to encourage, you know, co-governed curbside communities. So that is curbside communities who have the support of an agency. So not the tough shed or cabin community model that the city is.
Tough sheds.
Something a little bit more dignified. Yeah, the tough shed model. Something a little bit more dignified than that.
Something more dignified than a tool shed. What a concept.
Yes.
The East Oakland Collective also has been continuing on a long time Oakland tradition of feeding the people. Do you have another Feed the People coming up that people should know about?
Yes. Our bi-monthly Feed the Hood program, the next one is October 20th. And right now we're slated to host at East Oakland Youth Development Center.
Okay, one more time, where people can go to donate funds for tents and other supplies that y'all are looking for.
It is GoFundMe.com/East Oakland Tent Drive. You can also visit our website, www.eastoaklandcollective.com.
And then quickly, Candace, because I need to move on to the next segment, but if people want to support, because I know you all go out and support on the day of eviction, how can people contact y'all to find out where they could fit into that work if they were so interested?
They can, again, visit our website or email us at info@eastoaklandcollective.com because, yes, we do calls to action to the community to come out and support our unhoused residents.
All right. Candace Elder, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you, Kat.
Candace Elder is the founder and executive director of the East Oakland Collective. Across the state, rents are rising faster than many Californians can comprehend or handle. Last legislative season,